want to welcome you to our service this morning. Hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love to know that you were here. You can fly under the radar if you like. That's okay, too. We'd love to know that you were here. There's a box on there if you would like to be a part of our email list. Now, there's an insert in the bulletin that I'll get to. That's part of the sermon a little bit later, but we'll be talking about that a little bit more. But just want everyone to feel welcome this morning. Glad that you are here. If you would turn with me to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. This is the words of Christ. And now, I call these right before this verse 37, Matthew 23, 37. Right before this, he had been more or less given the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. He had been scolding them for, their hearts weren't right. And it was woe to you, the teachers of the law. And there were seven times he was woeing them. And we pick this up in verse 37 after Jesus has been saying that to the church. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing the sermon series, I Heart series, I Love series, pursuing the heart of God in all things. Now, last week we talked about loving God, I Heart. Does anybody else feel kind of silly when they say that? The what did they call it? Emojis? Anybody use emojis? Raise your hand if you use emojis. Shame on you, man. I can't believe you people use emojis. A heart series, I Love God, last week, and we understood from speaking last week that we can't love God until we understand how He loves us. That's where it all starts, is His great love for us. Today we move into I Love People. Now, there's a passage that, I forget the exact passage, it's in Proverbs, where it says, without vision the people perish. And I've learned this, that you can't cast a vision for the church once and be done. It has to be cast and recast and recast and recast. It has to become part of who we are. And we have this on the vision of our church is on our bulletins. Next week, hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to out on the backside in the foyer, we're going to have a big sign out there that we're adding that's going to have our vision statement, love God, love people, and offer Christ. Everything we do should come back to those things, that it begins with God's love for us, and out of that flows our love for God, our love for people, and our heart to offer Christ. Now, this passage today, he speaks of how Jesus is painting this picture of how his heart for the people of Jerusalem, his heart for God's people is as this hen who gathers her chicks under her wings. Now, I think I look back, it was about 7 or 8 years ago I talked about this, but if you've come to the church since then, you missed it. But broody hens, how many of you were raised on a farm or whatever and you had chickens? So y'all, I'm going to be preaching to the choir on this with y'all. But for me, this was new information as I studied a little bit. What does it mean? What is Jesus trying to tell us here? This hen who gathers her chicks under her wings, and there's this chicken can become broody. Now, some of y'all, I know some of you experts are going to be correcting me on some of this after the service today. I understand, but best I can understand, the hen, not all hens become broody, but many do, and the physiological makeup of the hen changes once it becomes broody. Now, the hen covers her nest with her wings for warmth and protection. I think there's a broody hen right there laying on top of her eggs. And she actually will pluck the feathers from her chest to expose her skin so that she can provide more warmth for the eggs. Isn't that something? You know? Is that right, Kevin? Have you ever seen chicken do this? Yeah, chicken. You know, Kevin's an old chicken man from way back. We won't go there, Kevin. No, we'll leave that one alone. She plucks her feathers from her breast and to warm. I mean, this is a hen who's dedicated to her chicks, huh? She's dedicated to this process of the eggs. Even the sweetest hen becomes very protective when she is broody. She will make growl. If you reach in and try to mess with her eggs, she will growl at you. She will peck at you. And from what I understand, they can get very, very physical. She turns her eggs. She only leaves her nest once or so a day to eat, drink, and potty. Now, this was... this is kind of gross, but I saw the picture anyway. A normal hen's potty, okay, is a little bitty potty. A broody hen potty, you know they've been around, don't you, Kevin? I mean, it just changes things in the broody hen. I'm not sure how that fits into the sermon, but I just thought it really, really dazzled me when I saw that picture. I'm not... After 21 days or so, her chicks are born, and she will remain on the nest another 24 to 48 hours. So she's still caring for the very protective and caring for the chicks, and she still, if it's cold, she still covers them up. The broody hen continues to protect the newborn chicks and teaches them to survive. Now, I ran across this is supposedly a true story. There was some people who had a hen, and she was broody and had not laid her eggs yet. And they lived out on this farm, and they also had a dog who had some pups right about this same time. And look what happened. That hen needed something to protect. And I read the story from this family who had it, that this hen, the dog stepped off the puppies for a second to go get something to eat or whatever, and the hen said, "Hey, there's me something to protect." And so she kind of took over the pups, and I'm sure there was some sort of a fight after that. But there's just this desire to protect and care for, and that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here, is that it's his heart for his people, this desire to gather them under his wings and to protect them. Do you hear the heart of Christ in this illustration of the mother hen? If we are to be a church after God's own heart, we have to feel about people like Jesus feels about people. I want that to soak in for a second. And Billy, I appreciate your prayer this morning. I don't know. Billy and I may have been the only two in the room that a face popped into our head. That this trouble, forgiving trouble with someone who has hurt you, hurt someone that you love. But the heart of God is to gather us, his people, under his wings, to protect his people, to care for his people. Did you know that there are two times that I could find in Scripture where Jesus was brought to tears. Two times. The first one is this. He was brought to tears over lost people. This passage we just read today, he's got a heart for his people. He says in Luke 19:41, he says, that as he approached Jerusalem, and actually Cheryl and I and the others who went to Jerusalem, Israel a few years ago, we actually got to stand on the in the Garden of Gethsemane in the area. Remember? You remember, Alice? Wasn't that awesome? It's like we got to stand in the garden overlooking the city, and there was a plaque there that said, this is the spot that history says Jesus was standing at as he's looking over the city, and as he approached and he saw the city and he wept over it. What was that all about? Jesus he knew the brokenness of the people, the hurting people, the lost people in that city, and he wept over the city. Do we weep over lost people? Do we have that heart of Christ as a church, as Christians? The second time that Jesus is recorded as having tears was over hurting people. Mary and Martha, the story, Lazarus is has Mary and Martha, his sisters. Lazarus and Mary and Martha are friends of Jesus. They're personal friends of his. And Jesus is some ways away from where Lazarus is, and he's sick, and he gets, the sisters send word to Jesus, and they say to him, Lazarus, it even said, Lazarus, your friend is sick. Come. And Jesus delays, not once, not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, 4 days he delays. And he finally says, okay, and everybody's kind of like, hey, Jesus, you know, Lazarus is sick, you need to go. And he delays so that God would get glory. And he shows up, and the sisters come out, Mary and Martha, and they're weeping. And they say to him, you're too late. Your friend Lazarus, he's dead. And Jesus, knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, knowing that just very soon there would be a party, he stops with Mary and Martha, and he weeps. Jesus has a heart for hurting people. So first thing I would ask you this morning, are you hurting? Because Jesus has a heart for you. He wants to gather you under his wings. And yet, even more than that, perhaps we aren't in a really bad place of pain right now. But there, I want to tell you, there's people all around us who are. They're everywhere. When I lost my brother 15 years ago, I remember we were out at his place. And I mean, I was just, man, it's just intense pain of loss. And I remember I was looking around Jay's place, and I saw all of his stuff, his barn and his horse and his guitars and just the land that he loved, the house that he loved. And I was just looking around, and I was just hurting. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, what you're feeling right now, the pain you're feeling right now, there's people everywhere hurting. Just like that and worse. There's hurting people everywhere. Church, we are called to have the heart of Christ, to have a heart that weeps with hurting people. You know, I want to tell you, mark this down because this is good advice, even if it is coming from me. If you experience someone who has great loss in their life, they've lost a loved one tragically or whatever, you can't fix it. Sometimes we want to say the magic thing that makes it go away. You can't do it. Even Jesus couldn't make their tears at that moment go away. So what did he wept with them. Sometimes that's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing we can do as Christians. It's the greatest gift that we can do is just sit and just cry with somebody. Sit and hug someone. Sit and let them know you're not alone. I'm right here with you. You're going to make it. God is calling us to love people, to love lost people, to love hurting people. Now, if you would, take out your little sheet here. The little, well, I call it the covenant sheet. Now, at the end of the service, I'm just kind of giving you a heads up. At the end of the service, our church, this church, not in this facility, but this church was founded 111 years ago this month, in the month of November, 24, I believe it was it 24 or 26? 24, I think. charter members. Not, Betty, I was looking at you, not like you were there or anything, but, you know. But 24 charter members, I believe it might have been 26, started the church, and it was down the street at the intersection down there, Buffalo Gap and Antley. And, of course, there wasn't an intersection there. It was just out in the middle of the country. And they shared a little one-room schoolroom/church with the Wiley School District. And rich history that we have. And so this church has made it 111 years. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And, you know, the thing about being a Christian, people will say to me, well, and I know, please don't receive anything I say today about membership in the church as pressure or shame or any, you know, guilt or any of those kinds of things. It's not. But I just believe that we are created for community. We're not created in the image of God to be the lone wolf, to be out there on our own, on an island. We are created for covenant and community because even the very nature of God is communal, is covenantal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even God has relationship with himself. And he has created us for relationship. So I just tell people, you know, if Wiley Methodist is where God is leading you to worship, and where you would call us your church family, join our church. Join our church. Be part of us. You know, we're fixing to go over what we say. What I said this morning with Carolyn is what we say when we join. If Wiley Methodist isn't your church, then find a church home that is where you can sink your teeth in, where you can have fellowship and community. It doesn't have to be our church, but find a place, because when we float here and we float there, we haven't made, I mean, and I know this is going to sound offensive, and I'm not trying it to be, but it's the difference between marriage and living together. I mean, it just really is. I probably shouldn't have said that, but it just really is. Because, you know, when we're living together, there's been no commitment. There's been no commitment. It's like, if things don't work out tomorrow, I can leave. Well, I want to tell you something. I ain't letting Cheryl go anywhere. She's made covenant to me. She's made covenant to me, and I've made covenant to her. I'm not going anywhere, Cheryl. You're stuck with me. I tell her all the time, because she's always giving me all this, to take two of these every day. I don't even know what it is. I said, you know, you could poison me and nobody would ever know nothing. What I'd say, well, I don't know. I don't know. Just taking these little red things every day, I don't know what happened to him. Man, we are created, church, as a people of covenant, a people of community. And even more so than just coming to church and coming and worshiping and slipping in, slipping out, and nobody ever knows your name. I'm just telling you, we want to know you, and I want you to know me. I mean, my life is an open book. You just come and talk to me. I'll tell you anything you want to know about myself. Some of it you aren't going to want to know. We are created for covenant so that we can go through things together. As I've been the pastor here, I've walked through some things with y'all. And I want to tell you, when I was not the pastor here, when we lost my brother, but this church, I had many friends in this church, and this church reached out to me and Cheryl and our family during that time. So you guys have ministered to me, not just then, but many, many times. We are called to love one another, to be in community. And that word community, I want to talk about that a second. Community, I kind of put together what I thought that meant. People unified with one another as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. We should have commonality that we all seek. Not in our too many times we look at church and it's like, what can you, church, do for me? How can you bless me and my family? But what we need to be doing is, how can we come together to fuel ourselves so that we can impact the world, so we can impact our culture and our family and our workplace? That's really church. That's really the body of Christ. But we tend to be consumers as people. Now, I've done it. It's like, I like this church because of this, or I don't like this because of that. But really, take a deep breath with me. Blow it out. Let's do it again. Deep breath. Take a blow it out. That's the way it should. We come here to take in, to worship and to fuel our fire and to strengthen our faith, and then we blow that faith out onto a hurting world. That's the plan that Christ had through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to, as I'll come back to this sheet in just a minute, but I want to, as the church was launched, and our community group, which is one of the ways that we do that, I'm in a community group, and I want to tell you, we started out, I think we're running maybe 16 or so now, we started out a bunch of people that we were just kind of curious. It's kind of like, I hope this works out kind of deal. And within a very, very short period of time, God knit our hearts together. And when he did it is when we began to tell our stories. We began to tell our, anybody in a community group, if you can give me a witness on that. You begin to tell your stories. It's like, hey, that dude, he's a real dude. She's had real issues in her life. I can relate to that. And yet, I've shared my story, and there's a bunch of junk in this, and people still love me. What's up with that? That's community. Listen to Acts chapter 2. Now, the Holy Spirit had just come. Jesus had ascended to heaven. He had sent the Holy Spirit as he promised. And we know that moment as Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But I want to read a few verses here, Acts 2, verse 42. I think I've got them on the screen there if you can see that. They devoted, and this is after the Holy Spirit has come and thousands of people are coming into a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So listen to this. Here's what the new early believers, here's what began to happen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Are you hearing community? They didn't all get saved and then run out and back, like, I got my ticket to heaven. Everybody else is on their own. No, they began to come in together in commonality, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So I want to step through this passage just a little bit slower and look at what was actually taking place. Now this morning when Carolyn joined the church, I asked Carolyn, as she, you know, first of all, you have to be a member of the body of Christ. You have to have accepted Christ. You have to have been adopted into his family before you can be part of this family. So I asked her, will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? So let's see, look back at this very early church, what was going on. We love people through our prayers. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They weren't just praying like, you know, random stuff. They were praying for each other. You know that there were people that were sick and there was different issues going on, and they began to pray. We love people through our presence, being together. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They met every day. Every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, I'm just telling you, I see it. I'm just kind of getting real with you today. Is that all right? I see it. I'll see families. I was talking to a family last week about this. They were engaged in our church, and they were in the Word, they were in a Sunday school and in a community group, and they were just, and the Lord was just pouring blessings on this family. I mean, I could just see it for the last several months. It was just like, man, God is making a difference in this family's life. And I'll see that for some folks, and then all of a sudden, and I'm just going to pick out Smith is a neutral name. I know there may be some Smiths in here. I'm not talking about you. I'm just using that as a generic name. How about Doe? We'll use Doe. I don't think there's any Does in here. So the Doe family, they'll be pressing in and everything's, and I'm just seeing it's like, man, God is richly blessing them, and then life happens. Hello. I'm not, man, I played every sport in the book, but I'm just telling you, Mom, you tell me if I'm wrong. If we'd have had, just getting real, if we'd have had some kind of select tournaments that took us out of town on Sundays, well, you think Dad would have let me be in those things? He would have whooped my rear end, wouldn't he? I'm just telling you, sports and school and dance and cheerleading and all those things, they're great things, but they're taking over our lives. It's like our youth group, Jared will tell me, it's like, man, we had 75 tonight. How come you had 75? Because there wasn't any volleyball practice tonight. Next week, 40. I'm just saying. Our kids used to, Sundays and Wednesdays were off limits to the schools. Is anybody seeing this besides me? Not anymore. Forget Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights went away a long time ago, but now Sunday's gone. Oh, I'm sorry, I've got a soccer game at 11 on next Sunday. I'm sorry, we won't be there. It's not about, man, I want my attendance to be up at church so the bishop will think I'm doing good. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And moms and dads, we need Jesus. Your kids need Jesus. You want to do them the greatest favor of your life? Love Jesus and love your spouse. That's the greatest gift that you can give to them. Come together. Be a part of community groups. Be a part of Sunday school. Don't just slip in and slip out. These actually get harder as we go down. Not easier. We love people through our gifts. Verse 45 says, selling their possessions in good, they gave as to anyone as he had need. Now, I won't say this again. I hate preaching about money. Anybody who's been here very long knows that. But I just want to tell you, if God doesn't have our wallet, he doesn't have our heart. There you go. I rest my case. If God doesn't have our wallet, he doesn't have our heart. You know, I can like, well, we got bills to pay. You know, it's like, I had a pastor friend of mine I just talked to this week. He pastors a church. They had a death, and this gentleman had some money, and he left this church $250,000 gift. You know what he heard kind of through the grapevine, this pastor heard after that happened? He heard some members say, well, I'm not giving anything to the church. They don't need my money. I told, we both kind of like, they don't understand. It's not about paying the bills. It's about our obedience to God. If he doesn't have our wallet, he doesn't have our heart. If he doesn't have our heart, he doesn't have us. It's hard for us. It's hard for us. But the early church, they were just so blown away by Jesus. They just said, who has some needs? Let's give. Let's take care of that. We love people through our service. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done. Now, it says by the apostles, but if you go on and read, and so we could take that and go, well, yeah, it was just you guys that are paid to be good. That's for y'all to do the good stuff. You know, we just come to church. It's like ministry is the preacher's job. Hello, it's not. It may be part of my job, but ministry's all of our jobs. Ministry is all of our jobs. We love people through our witness. And what that means is we tell people about Jesus. We tell people what he's done for us. And all of us, church, are different. I'm not asking introverts to become extroverts. God will use you just the way he's created you. Maybe your thing is one-on-one. Maybe you don't like to talk to big groups, and that's cool because that's how God's made you. And some groups don't intimidate you at all. But he has given you the gospel. We have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These thousands that were coming to the Lord in Acts, they were coming to the Lord because someone was telling them what the Lord had done for them. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. To be saved, you have to have the message of salvation. You have to have the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, back to this sheet. I want, if you would, look at it one more time. On the left is basically what I just talked about. Pray for my church and fellow members regularly. Be present. Prayers, presence. Be present in worship and other church events regularly. Gifts. Support my gifts, my church with my spiritual and financial gifts. Service. Find an area of ministry where I can serve Christ and people. Now, so there's so many servants in this church. I see you guys all the time. And sometimes I just sit back in awe when we have funerals. And we've had a bunch of funerals in the last 2 months. And sometimes I'm like, man, these ladies, we're wearing these ladies out. Another casserole, another dessert. And you guys always step up. And it's amazing to see all the servants. But if we're really honest with ourselves, it's so easy to move in out of servanthood and into consumerism, isn't it? Isn't it, as Christians? I mean, it's so easy for us to shift back and forth between being a servant and being a consumer. Sometimes we need to consume, but more times than not, we need to be serving. And then finally, share the good news of Jesus Christ through we love through our witness. Now, the church, as I say, it's covenantal. It is a covenantal, just like I said with marriage. Christ used the marriage analogy. He being the bridegroom, us the church being his bride, and he talked about that, used that analogy. And the bridegroom, and I won't tell you, as the bride of Christ, I love the bridegroom because he laid down his life for me. I mean, he loved me like that. And so how can I ever not love him? And so it's a relational thing. It's something that goes back and forth. So the church on the right is what the church family, hopefully you're receiving from this church, providing opportunities for you to grow and live out your faith in Christ. Provides opportunities for you to develop deep and lasting friendships and community with God's people. Provide opportunities for you to deepen your understanding of the Bible and the Christian faith. And I will say again, everything that comes out of this pulpit should be based on God's Word. And if it ever isn't, you have not only my blessing but my encouragement to challenge me, because it should be biblical. Be good stewards of your financial gifts to this church and God's kingdom. I want to say one more thing about money. I've said this before, but your personal givings, there's three people that know your personal givings. Me and our two financial officers in the office, because they have to receive those gifts and post them to your givings. We send out quarterly and annual statements saying what you give. That's not a... It's not a bill. It's not a notice that you're behind or any of those kinds of things. I actually have had people that thought that. People want to know, believe it or not. Many people want to know, and certainly at the end of the year, so you can file it in your taxes and so forth. We send that out as a service, not as a hey, you're not giving enough. It's not for that reason. So three people know what individuals give. No one else does. We don't share that with anyone else. But anything we spend or take in the way of totals or the way we spend our money, you want to know what that stuff is, all you got to do is ask. Somebody walks up off the street and go, can I see y'all's financials? Here you go. Here's everything we spend, and we have it audited every year. So we want to be faithful with the gifts. And I forget, we did this. Is Naomi here? what was it, 21%? What was it that we get calculated this a few months ago that our in the 13 years I've been here, you went back, remember? You remember what the percentage was of benevolent giving? 21 or 2%, I think. The money that comes in goes out to help others, your gift. So we're actually doing twice the tithe as a church. And that's not bragging. I just want you to know that we try to be faithful with the finances. And then also that we as a church should provide physical, emotional, and spiritual care with great love and compassion. I mean, if we're not doing those things as a church, you can tell me. Come and tell me. I haven't felt like that's been happening for me, and because we want it to happen for each and every one of the members. So the challenge to us today. Church, I just believe with all my heart. Yeah, I know it's. I kind of got in our face, including my own this morning. God is just. He's just called us to be a people of covenant, and so I encourage you. We have folks in here who've been members 40, 50 years. Every year in November, when our anniversary of our church founding comes back around. I want us to have the opportunity to say, I still do. I still do choose to be loyal to this church with my prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. I still promise that. It's nothing official or anything like that, but it's just a way of saying, God, I'm still in. I'm still all in. And then there's some of you who have never made a decision for our church, and I tell you, you can come here and worship with us as long as you like and never make that commitment. It's okay. It's okay. But I just encourage you to prayerfully think about that. Because I know y'all hate my football analogies, some of you ladies, but I was thinking about this. It's like Tony Romo's been on the sideline for the Cowboys for several weeks. But if they win, it's not because of him. That hadn't happened. But if they win, it's not because of him. And if they lose, it's not because of him. He's just standing on the sideline. The game's out there. Other people are involved, engaged in the game. And I know he would like to be. Are we in the game? I mean, these people in the first church, they're coming to Christ by the thousands. As soon as they came to Christ, it's like, what can I do? What can I do? How can I be a part of this? The sky is the limit. When I first became pastor here, the bishop, we had gone through a rough time. This was 13 years ago. We had gone through a rough time. Church had split. It's another story I can tell you about another time. But church had split, and when the bishop appointed me, here's what he told my district superintendent, which is kind of right above me. He said, I'm not sure, I'm afraid that Hatcher guy, I'm afraid he'd get in there and kind of get everything stabilized, and then he'd just kind of be satisfied with that. And I told the DS, he doesn't know me. Because, God, I see so much untapped. We're doing a lot of great things through our church. I see so much untapped potential through Wiley Methodist Church. So much more he wants us to do. It's going to take every one of us to do it. And I will never be sad until Jesus calls me home. I will be passionately proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we all are in that together. So as we, Clay, would you come up and just play a little for us. I want to invite you, if you're in, if you're all in, I invite you to sign this cord. There's nothing formal about this. There's nothing going to happen with this. It's more between you and God. To sign your name to this and to bring it to the altar is a sign of I'm in. Count me in. And if you are someone who would like to talk to me about making this official, you can check that box and you can write your contact information there, and I'll be calling you and we'll be talking. So as Clay prays, the altar is open. I invite you to bring these forward if you feel so led. Jesus longs to gather you as a hen gather her chicks under her wings. He weeps over you. He hung on a cross for you. He wants us to have his heart for people. Pray with me. Father, I thank you this stack of names. Pray blessings on each and every family represented in this stack. Father, help us to be your ambassadors to a hurting world. We have the gift of hope. We come bearing the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. Father, but break through. May your Holy Spirit break through in our hearts, break through in our church, break through in our city, our state, our nation, our world. God, we have the message that can make a difference. Show us how. Empower us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As we, just a minute, as we close, next week, I'll look at, there may be some of you who checked that you're interested in becoming a member. Next week is going to be an official baptism and membership Sunday. Now, that doesn't mean you can't join another Sunday, doesn't mean you can't be baptized another Sunday, but I know we have some who have have already told me that they want to do that next week. So we're going to have everything prepared to do that. And if you checked any of that in these sheets, I will be contacting you. Let's stand as we close.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness like the mighty mountain. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide. And I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find shadow of your angel. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.
Your righteousness.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice flows like the ocean's tide.
And I will lift my voice.
And I will lift my voice to worship.
Love not only reaches to the heavens, but it reaches to you, and it reaches to others through you. Go and be the church. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow. To the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.